Last Sunday, we started the Art of Neighboring ministry that we're going to be doing as a church. And here in shortly, I'm going to read the parable of the Good Samaritan. We'll read that. But I want to say a few things before we do. And after we read that, I'm going to ask you a question. And we're going to open up for a time of testimony to share, to hear from each other, okay? But last week I shared how I didn't feel qualified to teach this because I had fallen short in many ways, and I shared a few stories. And there's been some successes, but this morning I wanted to have a chance for us to be able to share how God has worked in us to help us to grow as good neighbors, scriptures that have helped us, stories about neighbors that we kept pressing in. We kept seeking them out, and the result of that. So we're going to read that parable here in a second, but I'm actually going to start out with a story. When Julian and I were looking for a car, to purchase a car, a couple months ago, we asked some of you to pray. And the Lord answered our prayers and answered your prayers, because we found what we wanted. And not only that, it was a used car from a private seller. The person that we bought it from was a Good Samaritan. We drove down to San Diego. As soon as we got there, he came out, handed me the key, and said, "Take it for a test drive, do whatever you want. I want you to feel comfortable about buying this car. Ask me any questions." I had 2 pages that I printed out from some website that listed all the things I need to check on a vehicle before I bought it. You know, check the engine oil, this and that, the brakes, is there any leaks on the ground, this and that. I mean, it was a long list that Julie and I talked about before we got there. And he said, "Take all the time you want. Look at everything." And I talked to him as soon, I wanted to get to know him. He's a Muslim man with a family of 4, and he owned a pizza company in San Diego. And with all that's been going on and restaurants closing financially, they needed money, so they had to sell this vehicle, which was, a real blessing to them, but they needed the money. So I've heard in the past, I haven't experienced it too much in my own life, but I've heard that the Muslim culture is very hospitable. In fact, they're the kind that if you were to come into their house, they'd invite you in, make you meals, ask you to stay, just treat you like you were a king. Well, that happened that day that we bought that vehicle. And as I think back over it he was an example of a Good Samaritan, because he was meeting every need that I had. Calm my anxieties. Take me for a test drive. Teach me how to use everything on the, a 2017 minivan with new buttons that I'm not used to. He's like, "Mr. Matt, I can see you're a very gentle person, and I want to help you all the way through this. And I know a place so you don't have to go to the DMV. We'll just go there, and we can take care of all the transfer of title and everything. And my friend, he owns it, and I'll take you." And he did, and we sat down, and I mean, he walked through the whole process. He was meeting every need right there with me the whole way through that. And then at the end, he said, "Please come to my pizza restaurant. I'm going to make your whole family dinner. It's free. It's on the house. Whatever drinks you want, come and get it." And so we went and had pizza at his restaurant afterwards. And I was just like, what a hospitable, friendly man. And now I know he was playing that role of a Good Samaritan. And that's someone that we have animosity towards at times, don't we? When we hear stories about bombs and just this last week in Baghdad, a person had a bomb on them and blew it up, and then there was a second person that waited for the whole crowds to get there to come help people, and then he blew himself up and many people died. You know, because of stories like this and what we know the truth is, we have animosity, but really, that was the most friendly experience I think I've had in a long time, apart from you guys, outside of this church. And so, you know, as Christians, that should be what characterizes us, each one of us, that we are a good neighbor, friendly, hospitable, helpful. And so that's what we're going to share about today. What I want to hear from you guys is, how has the Lord worked in your life to help you grow in that area? Or share a testimony or a story about what you've seen in your own life. Or what you've experienced. But before we do that, let's go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 25. Luke 10, 25. I'll say one more thing before we read. Another reason that I want us to share today is because I want us to be, number one, very prayerful about this time, that we would take it seriously as a church to step up and get busy about reaching out to our neighbors and building relationships. But I've had several people come to me over the last week and be like, how are we going to do this? You know, that sounds good. But this is Anza, and there's just special circumstances all around us. And so how exactly, Matt, do you plan on going forward with this? And so I think it would be a blessing and helpful for us to share how the Lord has been working this out in us already. And here's some ideas and some scriptures. But let's read this very important scripture about the subject of being a good neighbor. So Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. We'll start there. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." As I, as I was reading and studying this week, I was looking at verses 34 and 35 in that list of the Good Samaritan taking care of every need that that man had, as taking care of his wounds with oil and wine, putting him on his donkey and walking himself, taking him to the inn and staying there in the inn and fixing him up and repairing him and making him better. And not only that, but then at the end saying, and going to the innkeeper and saying, look, here's the money for payment for a few more days. If you spend more, I will repay it. But he was absolutely committed to meeting every single need that half-dead man needed. And so that's why I say that kind Muslim man in San Diego was like a Good Samaritan, because every need that I had in that whole process, he was right there with me, helping me, even to signing and taking care of the final things, to even getting dinner, because it was late that night. He was taking care of every need I had in that process. And so it struck me. And that's the kind of neighbors we want to be. When we see someone have a need, that we're committed to stay with them as the Lord leads us in that need, to see them through to the end, to where they can continue on again. So back in the beginning here, it says that this lawyer was trying to test Jesus. His intention wasn't to learn from Jesus. His intention wasn't to humble himself and be a disciple of Jesus. His intention was to test Jesus, to catch him so that he could have a reason not to follow Jesus. All right, maybe he'll answer this question incorrectly, and I can say, he's not really that good of a teacher. I've experienced that in the role as pastor. I've had people come to me, and I can tell that they're testing me. They'll ask a really hard question, and then be silent and just stare at me. And I'm thinking, I don't know the answer to that question. And then that's what comes out of my mouth, because I don't know. I'll have to go look, and they're like, oh, okay. I've even had someone tell me after doing something like that, say, look, I'll let you know when you're my pastor. Pretty much, you're not my pastor right now, because obviously you don't know the answer to this question. So anyway, maybe I didn't need to tell that story. But that's kind of what this lawyer is doing right now. He's testing Jesus. And it's interesting, even at the end, he tests him again. He says, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And so we'll talk about that some, but Pastor Bob and I were talking about that this morning, and I think it's important to say, going into this, I was going to say that who is my neighbor? Well, that is anyone in my sphere of influence that has a need. Anyone that has a need in my sphere of influence is my neighbor. And I have a responsibility to the Lord to help them. But I like how Pastor Bob put it this morning, that we have to follow the Lord in this, because there's so many needs around us that we cannot meet every need that is around us. We need to be very prayerful, though, and follow the Spirit and the Lord's leading on those that we do need to be this committed to, just as the Good Samaritan was. But anyway, that question right there comes out of pride. He was still trying to test Jesus, all right? That was still a test right there. This is the question he should have asked. The question he should have asked Jesus is, how do I love my neighbor? In humility, that's the question he should have asked and stopped the testing. How do I love my neighbor? How? And so I'm going to open up this time. And again, I want the Spirit to lead, but I'd love for you to share what's on your heart. How do we love our neighbors? How do we love them? Okay? Or if you've got a story about who is our neighbor, share that too. And we're a small group today, so it should be fine for you to share from where you are. Okay? And just be mindful to speak up for everyone to hear. Okay? So, is there anyone that has something that they'd like to share, similar to maybe like my story about buying a van?
So anyway, his name was Dr. Campbell. And Dr. Campbell was asked to preach at a morning meeting. And he preached on the Good Samaritan. And he said, folks, you've heard so many messages on this text. You've heard about messages about the thieves and those who take advantage of everybody and those who would, you know, do anything and everything they can to promote themselves at the cost of everybody else. And you've heard messages about the priest who kept to himself and didn't have time for anybody else. And you've certainly heard good messages about the Samaritan himself. And he said, but I'm not going to talk about any of those things today. I'm going to talk to you about something and preach a sermon you've never heard before. And he said, I'm going to tell you about the donkey. And I thought, what in the world is he going to be able to say about the donkey that is going to be inspirational? But by the time Dr. Campbell got through with his message, we were all on our knees. And he took the approach, while the Good Samaritan is taught to us for an example, and we are to be Good Samaritans, he said, the true Good Samaritan is Christ himself. Christ is the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan had a donkey. And he begins to build his sermon. And he said, now that donkey, all he does is he does his master's will. That's all he's good for, just to do his master's will. And then he went on developing and said, and that donkey will carry any burden that the master puts on him. He doesn't balk at it. He doesn't question it. He doesn't stop to think about it. He's just there to carry that burden that the Lord might put on him. And he kept developing the Lord's donkey. And when he got through, he says, are you prepared to serve your Lord that way? The question of this neighboring starts with an attitude. And we got to get the attitude right first. That's where it will begin, down deep. And in my experience through the years, to me, the question is never ability. It starts long before that with availability. Are you going to be available? Are you available to meet the needs that come before you? Are you ready to be the Lord's donkey? And that's where I'm thinking about, and what I'm thinking about as we approach this thing of neighboring, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Bob, and for your example and Bertha's. Yes, please, Trevor, come on up. Cord doesn't go that far.
So I was at a church one time, and we're out there. They're having a potluck, I believe it was. And we're enjoying it, and they had the windows open. And there's this big old RV that pulled in and just parked there. Now it broke down outside. So the church went ahead and closed it because we were trying to do some function in there and get everything done. We had all sorts of food, and we're looking outside, and one of the youths start asking about it. I'm like, go out there and ask them. He finds out that the RV's been broken down. They're trying to get home. They have no food. They have no stuff. He comes back in, and he talks a little bit to the people around him. No one says anything, and then he starts seeing that a lot of food is left around. He starts grabbing it and just takes it out there. And then they have a busted tire. He goes and he finds a jack for them to pick up the tire. And I was so blessed by this youth who just saw it. Like, he asked a question and he went out and took care of them.
Yes. Very good, Trevor. Thank you for sharing. And there are many opportunities. Julie, you want to come up? I'll hold it for you.
Okay, that'd be nice. I know when Matt started talking about this, I read the book too. Last year when I had shingles, I was reading a bunch of books because I couldn't be here and I was so sad, so I read a bunch of books. So I read this Art of Neighboring and I kept laughing because I'm like, this won't work in Anza. We used to have a block party. What were you do? Get a bunch of blocks and build a house? What is a block party in Anza? So, I mean, it was like a great idea and I thought, how in the world? So I was one of those skeptics that like, hey, you can't do this in Anza. People won't even look at you sometimes when you wave at them. How are you going to do this? But then I got to thinking like, you know what? If you pray and you say, God, I want to be a good neighbor. Please give me an opportunity. Do we really think God's going to say no? Don't want you to do that. I seriously doubt that. So I was like, okay, I'll take a step of faith, a little itsy bitsy step of faith, and just pray. Just pray, okay, God, use me. I'm available, like Pastor Bob said. But then, you know, you get all these doubts. How am I available? I have all these little ones everywhere. God, what can I possibly do? I could barely run my own household, let alone help somebody in need. And, you know, you get all these excuses. You moms have been there. You remember that stage of life where you're just, like, sometimes overwhelmed. And some days you feel like you got this. It goes back and forth all over the place. So I prayed anyways. I'm like, okay, I'll pray. I don't want to pray this because I'm so busy. And then I think some of you remember at Christmas how we helped that family on Facebook that contacted us through Facebook. And honestly, part of me was just like, I don't know. Is this really a family that needs help? You all know what I mean by that. You know, sometimes they don't really need help. They just want some stuff. But you know what? We did it. I just felt God saying, do this. That family has been so blessed. And I have had an ongoing conversation with the mom. And she's hungry for, so let's say during the week, can you give me scriptures about comfort? Send me scriptures about comfort because we gave them Bibles. I want to read about comfort. Send me songs. It's just like, okay, I can do that. I can get on my phone no matter how busy I am and text that to her. I can do that. And I was like, okay, God, I get it. There's things no matter how busy or unbusy you are in life that we can still be a good neighbor. My next prayer is for, unlike Patsy, you knew all your immediate neighbors, I literally had to ask Matt. I keep having to ask him, what's their name? I don't remember. I just don't know. And I grew up in the country, in Wildomar, and that's just kind of how it was. We waved. Of course, everybody in the country waves, but we had like nicknames for our neighbors. That's not always, don't have nicknames for your neighbors in case you accidentally call them that name. That's not good. So I need to know their real names. So I'm praying right now that God will show me, give me an opportunity, whether we have chickens. Maybe I'll be putting eggs, like apples, on the fence. Maybe I'll be putting eggs on our neighbor's fence because we don't eat all those eggs. But just that God will show me what I can do at my stage and season of life. Maybe it's having one of my kids draw a picture for them. Everybody loves a picture from a little kid. So my prayer right now is that God will show me personally, because Matt, he does really good. He has more opportunities to go out there and help them. And he tells me his stories. I'm like, oh, I wish I could have done that, but honestly, I don't have the ability to do some of the things that he can do. So even between husbands and wives, don't get too competitive. Sometimes I do that. But yeah, the husband might be able to meet a need that the wife can't, but the wife might be able to bake the pie that the husband can't. So there's something that each of us can do, even within our family. My Eliana, she can draw a picture of a horse and give it to our neighbor that to get him to wave is really hard, but he might be touched by a picture of a horse from a little girl. So just pray that God will help us to think out of the box, even in Anza, even during COVID. And he's not gonna not answer that prayer. He will. So that's my experience, what I learned. And if you can continue praying for the family that we're blessing as a church right now, they're just really interested in growing and that we'll be able to get them tied in.
Very good, Julie. Thank you. Anyone else that wants to share? Mike? Come on up. I'll hold this.
I'll let you hold that.
Okay.
We sang a song this morning. Out on the highways and byways of life. We all go through that. Many are weary and sad. Just as we drive, we see people in stress. Our neighbors carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. I was going to share a story, but I'm not going to start with my story, and I'll probably walk around. I can tell you story after story what Clyde has done. When Patsy and Clyde came, who are these people? Patsy's shy, and yet she started giving announcements, like Angela, and just sharing their hearts. Man, they brought joy to us. They blessed us.
Amen.
Clyde's not one to come up and speak, and even the Bible reading, and we have several others. I don't even want to be a deacon. I don't want to read. Clyde does so many things of getting his truck and trailer and helping someone. Come and doing some mechanical things that need to be done real quick. Just doing it for your neighbor. We've seen this over and over and over and over again. Joel will never get up here. And he and his wife, just the gentleness that they do at the school, you'll never believe everything that Joel did. We'll never know all. I needed a mechanic, so his son started helping, and I know he was helping Bob, and, you know, just constantly doing those little things that nobody knew about, but just to love people and the skills that God had given him to do that. Jesse's been sharing recently about his grandson-in-law. Those who don't know Jesse, I'm sure that many could come up here and tell a story. I think of Jane and her husband over and over and over again. Either Jane would call or he would be over there and take his airplane and take them to Arizona now. You know, I don't have that capability. Even when someone came and said, hey, we got to fly to Arizona now. All the things people do around us. Brother Bob's just been amazing over the years, and Matt's starting to learn these things that not that we want to use people, but God has gifted people. You know, I think of Linda and of looking at the drama and things that we wouldn't have, the music, both you ladies, you know, I couldn't do that. And so we want to thank you for your gifts. And as we're starting to think out of the box to help people, to encourage them, this cemetery would not have been able to even start it without Ken and some of the people that were on the board that have other gifts. Jess came on and helped with the school and just those things that he could add to it. We just needed everyone. And so I want to continue with that. Things aren't perfect. We were gone this summer and we started getting texts. And what are we talking about here? And Mr. Davies, what can we do to help? Finally, I had a text. I don't know what you're talking about. We're out of town. And one of our grandsons had ran away. Life goes on, folks. Struggles come. I love Anza. Years ago, my wife was in a car accident. I was at school teaching. People kept showing up at Tenet. What can I do? What can we do to help? Hey, does Mike know? Can we go and help? This community comes out of the woodwork to help. And we need to love others. We were at the post office one day, and the lady who happened to be there, how are you guys doing? And when the grandson ran away, he went to one house and nobody was there. And this is in the middle of the night. And he ends up riding his bike all the way to Lake Riverside. And he knocks on the door, and the little girl, a friend of his that he's had for a long time, a high school student, brings him in and kind of hides him and helps him out for the day. And I ran into Mom at the post office. She said, "Mr. Davies, we don't know what to do because my daughter's kind of torn. What is Scott and Mr. Davies going to think?" And we started talking. And Mom and Dad were split at that point. School has been really a mess. This was a bright, bright student who was failing all their classes. And a little boy that's a first grader that I knew very well that is struggling and has finally had to be taken out of school to be independent. What can we do? Man, we can just love them. First time I saw the girl, I said, "You need to know that Mr. Davies and Scott love you. We appreciate that you had an open door for our grandson. That we live in a town and a city that aren't going to take advantage but love people." And so I said, "Don't you dare ever worry about that." But as I got to spending time with this family, I said, "I don't want to embarrass you or hurt you, but would you like to pray?" And she just wept, Mom did, because of the struggles they were going through. And we need to be a part of their lives. I've been tutoring their son. I've been spending time. And you can see Mom come out. I need to spend time, too, just to be loved, meeting people whose cats die. So I want to encourage you as we start to look at this neighborhood thing and be encouraged that we can help out. And I see example over here all the time of people who are doing that. And we want to encourage you in your walk. But like Bob says, we need to be available. Are we ready? And what's our attitude like? But to serve. Christ came. To serve. To be a servant. And we need to do the same. So I want to encourage you as we look at this and the Good Samaritan story. Love you guys.
Love you too, Mike. Thank you for your example also. That's another reason why I wanted all of you to share, is because many of you have been such a good example of this. And so, thank you. When Jesus said to the lawyer, "Do this and live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself." As Pastor Bob was saying, Jesus is the Good Samaritan. Jesus is the good neighbor. And we've all fallen short in that. And so, as we were just singing about Christ being our atonement, and I was thinking about that Jesus wasn't saying, "Go out and be a good neighbor and you'll go to heaven." There's only one way to go to heaven, and that is by faith in Jesus Christ, in his life and in his death, and by his power working in us, we can be good donkeys. So Clyde, if you would please come and close us in prayer. And thank you for your example too, Clyde. We love you. And love you all. Remember tonight, stay home and stay warm. And hope to see you again soon, but we won't have services tonight. Clyde, if you'd lead us.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. The one thing that we can count on, even in these times such as we have right now, is that Jesus is still on the throne and he answers prayer. And we're so grateful for that, Lord Jesus. You paid the ultimate price. You died for this world, for the sins of this world, Lord. And the only thing that we can do is be your servants, Lord. That's, Lord, I just pray that you would make me your servant, Lord. That you would just give me every opportunity that's available out there, Lord. And I love you so much, and I thank you for sending me here where I could be of use, Lord. So, Lord, we just praise you and worship you and thank you for everything that you've doing for us, Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father. And we just ask this in the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus. Amen.